Appraise This. We bring in Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, a frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. You can find them on the web, tqag.com. And, of course, right here on Robinhood Radio on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you both this morning?
Well, peachy. We're warm. We're warm. It's a balmy 64 degrees here on a wintry Florida morning, unlike 18 degrees where you are.
Well, you know, you take what you get up here.
That's right.
It really helps.
You know what's going to happen, and this happens all the time, because I'm coming from Ohio. The same thing would happen in the wintertime. All of a sudden, you wake up one morning, it's 18 degrees, and the next thing you know, the next day it wakes up and the flowers are blooming and it's 80 degrees outside. Same thing's going to happen in Connecticut.
Sooner or later. Now, I have been a busy beaver this week, and I've got two stories.
Boy.
I've got two stories that I want to throw at you. First of all, what the hell is a virtual non-fungible token artwork?
Oh,
because
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Oh my God! It was, this thing was expected to bring in thousands of dollars, and it sold for what?
$69 million.
So explain to me, what the hell is a non-fungible token?
Well, first of all, it's, so for short, they call it an NFT, if you want to be like the cool kids.
Okay.
So it's an NFT, and it is, and here's the definition, because I knew you were going to bring this up. It is a unique digital file stored on a blockchain. It's basically a digital ledger. The NFT is it's a cryptographic token. So it's not an actual coin like you would think token, but it's a token. But unlike cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin and many networks, there's many networks and utilities of tokens, NTFs are mutually interchangeable and not fungible. So that means that it can't be copied. It's unique. And that digital file. So I was trying to explain it to Greg this morning, and I said, just imagine, it's like it's in the Matrix. It's all in the Matrix is where this all goes. And it's hard for us to visualize because we're used to seeing tangible assets, but this is an intangible that is a digital file. So basically what sold at Christie's for $69 million was an artist piece. It was a compilation of all of his works into a digital file that is unique, that is on the blockchain, that is stored there so it can't be replicated. And it's like a digital ledger of, it went from the artist and now went to Christie's, and now it's the new owner will be part of that provenance, basically, on the blockchain that can't be changed. So the bidding for that piece at Christie's by the artist put it up, and they had no reserve and an opening bid of $100. And within 15 minutes, it went to over $1 million. And then, of course, in the last, it was an online auction over, I think, a week or so. In the last couple of hours, it jumped from $30 million to the final selling price at $69 million. And people are jumping on the bandwagon for this because they're thinking that it's like the Bitcoin and the whole blockchain of technology and where things are going. And this is not the only one, Marshall. There was also the founder of Twitter. He actually put his first tweet on the web up for auction. And that sold for over $2 million. So these types of things, these little, and I think it was his first tweet, but there was also a 15-second video clip that was put into an NTF, or an NFT, sorry, non-fungible token, NFT. And there were these digital clips that were done by these performance artists, and they're also selling for big money on, you know, at auction. So it's a whole, trust me, it's a whole new area. This is a whole area that is rocking the art world. It's rocking the auction world. and people are scrambling to understand how this is, because, you know, it's almost like the gold rush. Oh, look, oh, not only to try and sell it, but also to try and buy it, because there's speculation that that's going to increase in the future, and it'll be the thing of the future. So we'll see.
My question is, when these things sell, how do you know that the one that you're buying is the original one? Because as we all know, when you take a photograph or you send something digital, it's there's no way to reproduce it without, let's see, how can I say this?
No, I know what you're trying to say, Greg. Right.
I mean, how do you know that what you're getting, you know, 69 yes. million, how do you know there's not, how do you know that's the original one? Because they all look alike.
No, well, it's supposedly numbered one of one, and that is it, and there are no other. Now, the new buyer, they don't get the copyrights to that, just like a regular piece of artwork. But if the artist wants to do something in a smaller series or do something a little different, there's nothing stopping them from doing it. So I think that's where we're seeing this is a bubble, is that people are saying, oh, well, let's just do this. And they're not thinking through the unintended consequences down the line, is that, yeah, okay, you own that one, and it holds the distinction of this is one of the first, and that will be part of its provenance as well. And because it's on the blockchain, and this is, Greg, I can't answer that in like just a second or a minute for you to understand how it can't be copied. I know you're chomping at the bit, but trust me, it's about being on this blockchain that is purported to be something that cannot be replicated because of the number of different computers that are producing and computing to maintain the blockchain. So again, it's in the matrix, just trust me.
Marshall, do you understand it?
I don't want to understand it, because I sit here and I say, first of all, the guy's name is Mike Winkleman. Now, if Mike Winkleman had been in my high school, just the name alone would have discredited him, and he would have been in trouble. But then, not only that, Mike Winkleman, as the artiste that put this together, goes by the name of Beepy, B-E-E-P-I.
That's right.
Now, I sit here and say to myself, $69,346,250 can feed a lot of hungry people around this world. And that's where I don't even want to get into it. I don't want to understand it. I know it's art, and I know people put different values on different things, but this really it's another reason why Islamic terrorists hate countries like America and stuff, because they see an amount of $69 million. It's just a staggering amount of money. Doesn't this put them at the top of artists in general for what they're getting for their artwork?
Believe me, there have been several articles that I've been reading in the past week that have said, well, my God, this is a record for this artist, and he's surpassed a lot of, you know, look at all of the other art that sells, and like there are, they named all the big artists and just said, how could this be? And is it because of, and then you have to step back, and is it because of the art form, or is it because of the unique nature of what it is? Is that everybody wants to get in, and it's like the first, and it's new, and it's, and that all plays into it. All of those things are factors that affect the overall value. The next question becomes, is this just a bubble, a tech bubble that is going to burst? And we'll see, because, you know, when something sells like this, there's going to be five more that come up, and let's see if it can be sustained.
Well, there are consequences that haven't even been discussed yet.
Correct.
And that is, what happens, okay, so this sold for $69 million. Now, if somebody, since it's digital, you know, when you
see it's not in the same sense, right? But it's not in the same sense you're thinking, Greg, of being digital. It is that it's now being on this blockchain, it's not everybody can access it. It's only the owner can access this. So whatever he chooses to do. So this is that. That's why it's not the same as we know digital from 20 years ago with the digital, damn digital going with taking over and with photos and the way that we know it. It's a whole. This is taking it to a whole nother level, and that's
where I don't know about you. But if I actually had $69 million to throw away on something, I think I'd rather have an original Andy Warhol than I would something that doesn't really even exist, that exists in a digital form, because at least I have something tangible that
I know. Well, here's another definition of NFT that may also answer some of your questions. It stands for non-fungible token, and is essentially a certificate of authenticity, one of our favorite things, for a one-of-a-kind digital memorabilia that can't be duplicated. The memorabilia is stored on a blockchain network. So that gives a little bit more to the definition there. That's more of what we're used to thinking of. But, you know, there again, it's those are selling like crazy. And one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is the digital or the games, the gamings, you know, the Atari and the little Italian guy, Mario Brothers, and all those little games from the 90s and 2000s, is now Heritage is putting together a whole sale. I mean, they sold one or two and they sold for several hundred thousand dollars. Now they have a whole group of 300 in one sale that's coming up, I think, at the end of this month. And they're all enclosed in these, you know, the collectible sleeves, so that plastic, so that they can't be damaged, and they've all been graded. But it's basically the same thing. You're buying this, and you're buying what you can't touch. It's this video game, and you can't take it out of the collectible plastic, because once you insert it and do this, you're affecting the condition of the whole thing. So you're buying this just to display that you have these cartridges, but you can't play the game. And that's the intangible side of what it is. It's just, you also get that tangible graphic from the game's sleeve or whatever it is, but that's what you're getting. And this is where things are moving into this intangible world.
Well, I'm going to go back and try to collect my thoughts here and become a little more tangible and bring up the name Elvis Presley. Now he's got a guitar that's up for auction. It wasn't even really his guitar. It was somebody else's guitar, but he played the guitar during a national. Remember his comeback tour when he was in Hawaii?
Right.
He played the guitar back then. So the guitar is now up for auction, and its initial price is $250,000. Now, you know, a story like that, where it's not even Elvis's guitar and it's somebody else's guitar, but Elvis played it. But now, I would say 2 years ago, I would have said this crazy. But now, after hearing this story about NFTs or whatever, this seems completely logical.
Right.
Well, I agree 100%. And all I can think of is, at least this is something you can physically touch. To me, it's like trying to sell an idea. I don't understand it. If it's not in front of me, I have a hard time figuring out why it's worth anything.
You know, I can understand Bitcoin. In the beginning, I couldn't, but like, you know, you purchased a coin, and you would say you purchased it at the beginning of Bitcoin, and you paid $5,000 for it. Now it's worth $50,000 now. It goes up and down with the market. So there's,
right.
You can track it. You can, you know, it's a little different. I guess this is so new. It's just downright shocking.
We have to get used to it. Now, Bitcoin is fungible, just like a dollar is fungible, because it can be it's duplicated, yeah. And it's not a unique thing. That's why we're saying this is non-fungible, which means that it can't be duplicated. It's a one-of-a-kind, and it lives on the blockchain. So it lives in the matrix.
It's where we are now. What can you say?
Yeah, it is. It is.
All I can say is thank God I'm going to be 72 and retiring soon, because this is way above my pay grade.
Well, I guess I like I said, my problem is that deep down inside, I say this with regular art too, and even the regular art, at least you have something to hold on, and you can hang it on your wall, and you can let people see it and stuff like that. That's something totally different. But this money to go into this just seems like it's a little, it can go to so many other things, and you can say that about a lot of things. But at least when something's tangible, there's something there. But you see $69 million for something that's not really tangible, and you see the strife and the horror in the world. It just, I don't know, it just affects me in a different way.
Well, you know, the other thing too is the people who are bidding on these things are not the average Joe like you and I. Because, quite honestly, how many people have $69 million just to buy, to throw away? I mean, come on. I mean, it's like we've gotten to the point where the haves and the have-nots in the art world. That's what it comes down to. Well, and the have-nots, all we can do is hope to go to a museum and see these things, and in some cases touch these things like sculptures and such. But something like this, what's the point? I still have a hard time understanding what the point is. I understand the point of art in a museum. I understand a painting by Picasso or Renoir selling for millions of dollars. But the thing is, at some point, when is it going to stop? I mean, how do you...
It isn't. The
consequences of doing appraisals on something that isn't even real, I can't even begin to imagine what the problems are going to be coming forward.
Right. But it is real. It's not that it's real. It's intangible. Mm-hmm. So you have to use the right terminology in saying that. And just because you think that, well, they're throwing away money on $69 million on this, it's other people invite you to consider thinking that they're looking at it as an investment. And it's just a whole different perspective. And as far as the haves and haves not, we never will own a Warhol. I mean, that's just the facts. But we can see them and we appreciate them. And I think our job is to also be able to, especially as appraisers, is to be able to understand what is going on without judgment and saying, here, we're being independent, impartial, and objective in looking at this and saying, okay, instead of, and I understand where you're coming from, Marshall, and I do understand that, yes, that money could go for a lot of things. And who's to say we don't know whether this individual is philanthropic or not? There's no way to know. But as far as what we do as appraisers is being able to look at this and say, what does this mean? Why did this sell for so much? Is it because it's the first? Is it because it's this artist? Is it because Christie's got behind it as well? And there's all these different things that really lead to the piece having credibility and something that there an individual would believe. And it was more than just one individual, because to bid that up, I think they had over 300 unique bidders that were bidding on this at any given time. So it's just the way, it's where we're going, and that's what we're doing, is reporting on it, looking at it, and wondering how is this going to affect our business. That's all.
It boggles the mind. It really, really does. And it's very, I find in a way it's disconcerting, because, you know, maybe it's because it is new, and I don't understand it, which I think is one of the issues, not with just myself, but in general, people don't understand this. But you know, people understand stuff. They understand buying something from Elvis, an Elvis Presley guitar, or, you know, they understand that. But when you have this, that's just now starting to be the latest slice of bread, I don't know if it's a trend. I don't know if it's just a fad, but, well, you know,
You know, but it's been around. It's just taking a different form. It's just like phone numbers. People will pay $1 million to have that, you know, 999-9999 phone number or whatever it was. There's several sales of that, and that's, you don't have anything. You know, you, what is the tangible part of that? You own those, that sequence of numbers that, when put into a specific device, produces a result. And it's, you know, I mean, it's been around. It's just now it's getting more publicity, and it's leaking into the art world. And we just have to get our minds around it and learn what we can about it.
I predict that in it's been 44, 45 years since Elvis has died. I can pretty much guarantee that in 45 more years, we'll still be selling, you know, Elvis Presley memorabilia will still be selling, but I don't know if I can say with confidence that in 45 years, the
NFTs
or FTDs or whatever that are called.
No, it doesn't matter, because the artist has made enough money, and this is one thing to live for the next 45 years.
Well, right, but I just would like to point out that, Greg, you said the same thing with JPEGs and TIFF files. You're like, what is a GPG? JPG? Is it JPEG? JPG? What is this? You said the same thing. So, I know.
Well, there you go. Folks, start compiling all those digital files. And
get those NFTs.
NFTs. All right, guys. We'll speak to you in the, we'll speak to you in the real world next week.
Take care, Marshall.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.